And as you just heard, the budget sell is well underway, with the government having one eye on the pandemic, the other on an election. Phil Khoury joins me now in the Parliament House studios. Phil, hello there.
Howdy, friend.
Do no harm seems to be the underlying principle of this budget. The economy might be barreling along. The pandemic's far from over. That's the government's pitch. Has the government got the balance right here, prioritising job creation ahead of budget repair, well and truly, and reassuring the electorate with these big outlays on services such as aged care, childcare, mental health care?
Well, I guess we'll have to, the reaction to it will determine whether they got the balance right, but certainly it's balanced towards the political. I don't think anyone disagrees with that, Fran. If it's not an election budget, it's a dress rehearsal. It's a sort of document that you could, that sets you up. It wrong-foots their opponents in terms of it's just a major incursion into Labor's turf, whether it's the big spending on care services and there's a tax cut only for low and middle income earners. So, look, I don't think anyone disagrees that we still need to, get the economy chugging along. It's a noble ambition to get unemployment down under 5% on a sustained basis.
I think we'll get to under 5% pretty quickly, but I think it's the getting below 4.5%, which is what the Reserve Bank says we need to be.
Well, I noticed the government was walking. They said that in the press conference yesterday. We're not going to go for the Reserve Bank number because we just want to try and. They don't want to overpromise, I think. But I think there's a suspicion they may get there if it stays on the current trajectory. But of course the other side of this is the debt and the deficit equation, and that seems to have just been parked now, at least until the election. But it can't be ignored forever. It's quite serious.
How times change. I mean, you'd remember Beasley Black Hole. You remember the debt and deficit disaster.
Mm. Well, I thought the killer line in the budget yesterday was on page 10 of budget paper number one, and it said, I'll translate it, effectively said the debt's not growing as fast as the size of the economy, therefore the proportion of the debt to the size of the economy is getting smaller. And so long as that happens, we don't need a surplus budget. Now, that's a big shift in, we have to have surplus budgets to pay down debt, which was the mantra only just before the pandemic. So they may be able to carry that for another year or two, but I think, pressure will build.
I think they'll have
to switch to budget repair.
They've judged the public mood right, which is that the population, I think, now wants spending. They've had a hard time. They want spending. They're not worried about surpluses. To be honest, they're probably only worried about debt and deficit because the coalition has been flogging it for so long as a disaster.
Well, we're conditioned to it. The Howard
years. So this is a rewriting of the script, let's be clear.
It is. I mean, the Howard years conditioned us that debt and deficit were bad things and it was good to get rid of them. So we're a fiscally conservative sort of country. Look, it's sustainable until interest rates start going up, friend. The two things that you can be sure of, rates will one day go up and the iron ore price will one day fall. So
sadly, one thing you can't be sure of these days, it would seem to be in modern times, is wages will go up.
Well, it's slow. I mean, it's sort of the budget does say when unemployment drops under 5%, there is an uptick in inflation and wages. It's not huge, but it's better than a poke in the eye. But again, they may be under-promising there. I don't know.
Phil, we spoke with Jim Chalmers, the Shadow Treasurer, earlier. He says this is a budget of missed opportunities. To quote him, a budget defined by marketing, mismanagement and missed opportunities. Really, where does this leave Labor? I mean, as you say, the budget encroaches on so much of its own turf. Really, Scott Morrison and Josh Frydenberger have taken aim at every possible target they could, really, here, haven't they?
That's right. I mean, the ideological shift that they said marked the response to the pandemic, the one they said it's not going to be permanent, well, it's ongoing. They haven't snapped back, but they've shifted to the sort of Labor style. Look, Labor, I think, is just going to have to think their way around this, Fran. I don't think it's enough to say we thought of it first or we'll do it better or, you should have done it sooner. That's just not really going to resonate out there. So they're going to have to come up with alternatives. I think they should target the areas that the budget doesn't. One of the biggest crises out there is house prices. It's a massive problem, both rentals and it's not just Sydney, Melbourne anymore. It's almost across the whole country. They need to think of new ways in. And I suspect the big flashpoint will come over the stage three tax cuts. That's like $137 billion worth of tax cuts to start in 2024. Now, it's a fair bit of money. I suspect they'll either go to the election promising not to do them or to pare them back and use that money for something else. But they need points of difference and that's probably an easy one for them.
Yeah, and that'll come into focus before the election. Phil, thanks very much.
Pleasure, friend.
Phil Khoury is political editor with the Australian Financial Review.